What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Today, I am joined by Nathan from Sour Street Pizza. We're doing a marketing review. We're going to go over his marketing, his website, and I'm going to share some tips and some strategies as to what I would do if I was running his marketing. I can't run his business, but I can definitely help and give him some suggestions as to what I would do if I was running his marketing. And that's exactly what we do on this podcast. If you haven't heard the news yet, by the way, we are launching SPM Magazine. Coming out March 2024, I'm pretty excited. You can tell my voice is a little raspy because I've been talking a lot over the last few months about this behind the scenes. And we are launching in March 2024. If you want in, go to smartpizzamarketing.com. There's a magazine tab there. Just click on that, sign up, and when we get ready to launch, we will let you know. It's going to be a digital magazine with a limited print version run. So I'm not sure how many print versions we're going to have yet, but it's going to be great. I'm super excited about this, and I'm really excited to bring something new to the market in the pizza industry. I say this magazine is for pizza people by pizza people, and I really want to involve you. If you want to contribute, if you want to write an article, if you want to become a guest on the podcast, this is all about the community here with you listening to the podcast and everybody that we know, sharing stories, sharing marketing tips and strategies, hiring strategies and tips to help everybody get the business that they want. I know times are tough out there, and the goal of this magazine is to really make you feel like this is the go-to resource for learning something every single issue of the magazine. It's about information. SmartPizzaMarketing.com is the place to go. If you want in, go over there. I would very much appreciate it. Now, a quick word from our sponsors that make this show possible. Today's podcast is brought to you by Fiero Forni. If you're looking for an oven, dough management, dough mixer, dough divider, whatever it is you're looking for your pizza shop, Fiero Group can help you do that. Whether you're looking for some new ovens, they have a whole line of ovens that can help you for wood-fired pizza, your electric pizza that's coming soon, and also dough management. If you're looking for a dough handler, a dough mixer, a dough stretcher, the Opera Prima machine is unbelievable. Check out Fiero Forni over at fierogroup.com. They are a great company supporting the podcast for a long time. They'll help you with all of your pizza making needs. If you're looking to grow your business and you're listening to this podcast, I have a solution for you. Food Tech Solutions. It's my go-to point of sale system for delivery and takeout pizzerias. I used it in my pizzeria, and I highly recommend that you use it in yours. Listen, we're all looking for ways to grow business, right? To raise that ticket average, to get customers to come back more frequently. And there's many ways to do that. But what happens is when you're a pizzeria owner, you have so many things that are going on in your business, you just don't have time or the technology to put it all together. And that's why I recommend Food Tech, because they have it all inside of their POS system. Text marketing, email marketing, everything that you need and you need to be doing as a pizzeria owner, Food Tech Solutions does it for you. That's why I used Food Tech Solutions. I suggest Food Tech Solutions. Been around in the pizza game for a very long period of time. They listen to their customers and what their customers need when it comes to technology, and they put it all together inside of their point of sale system. In the pizza game for a very long period of time, they listen to their customers and what their customers need when it comes to technology, and they put it all together inside of their point of sale system. And that's why you should head over to foodtechsolutions.com. If you are in the market for a new point of sale system, I highly recommend you check them out. Tell them you heard them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Again, foodtechsolutions.com. All right, Nathan, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Hey, Bruce. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. We're going to go over your website, tell a little bit about your story, give you some help, and talk a little pizza. So appreciate you doing this. Give everybody real quick, you know, who's listening to this or watching this, like a little, I know we talked a little bit before we started the podcast, but like give the Twitter version of like what you're doing now and what you're looking to do.
Yeah. So basically, long story short, I started about 3 years ago cooking pizzas in the Big Green Egg during quarantine, and they started coming out really good. I wasn't in a position to open a restaurant, so I purchased a food pizza trailer down in Florida and brought it up here, and we've been rolling ever since. That was about 2.5 years ago.
How did you find the pizza trailer?
I I narrowed down the oven that I wanted. I really just wanted a Mugnaini of Forni of Valoriani. So I started, I reached out to them, and there's a company down in Florida, Concession Nation, and they build all kinds of food trucks, and they've done hundreds of these Mugnaini ovens on trailers. So I kind of trusted them with it and had them build it out to our specifications.
I mean, I can see it on your website. I'm going to show you your website right here. I can see it. It looks cool.
Yeah, of course.
Are you happy with it?
I am. Yeah, it's kind of perfect. It's an 8x16. It's really tight in there, but we can sell a ton of pizzas. And that's all we sell. We don't really have room to do salads or desserts or anything like that. But everything's kind of self-contained in there and in my truck. I have a commissary kitchen where I make all the dough.
It looks cool too, because it looks like, it looks like your oven is on the outside. So it's like kind of sticks through the wall. So you cook the pizzas and the oven's not in the trailer. So in the summertime, that must be helpful.
Well, actually the opening of the oven is in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
So you can see the oven from the outside.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the
that's
opening
right.
Opening is in the trailer. It's hot in the summer.
Is it still hot?
I think it's like 120 the oven. 110, 120. It's bad.
So, do you like it? Like, do you like the trailer?
Yeah, I love it. So, I love it. But that being said, it's a lot of extra work, a lot of extra driving around that restaurants don't have to do. A lot of hauling dough to the trailer from the trailer. I have carpal tunnel in both my hands. I was diagnosed like 4 months ago. So
from rolling
all the
dough?
Memes that you post from rolling dough, from being in the oven, from chopping wood, from transporting the dough, it's everything that goes along with the food truck.
Now, what are you looking to get help with? Is it sales? Is it marketing? Is it training for employees, or just general stuff? Like, what do you need the most help with?
You know, I don't know if you can help me with this. I don't think you can. I need to be more consistent with posting.
Yeah.
I'm not clever with words. So coming up with captions, with copy, to put on Instagram every day, is really hard for me, and I overthink everything. So I try to make a post, and I write it down, and then I don't like it, and then I end up not posting. And I need to kind of get out of my head with that. But I kind of want to get your advice, just what you see and what you think. I don't know like exactly what I need.
Yeah. All right. So let me go over, let me start you with your, so you, right now you just have your website and you have Instagram that you use. You have Facebook, which you kind of, I looked beforehand, you kind of just cross post over from Instagram, which is fine, but you're really a heavy user of Instagram. Like, that's your number one marketing channel to get exposure and get customers.
That's right.
Okay. And do you do text messaging or email or anything like that?
I don't. I really need to. I'm going to start writing this stuff down.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Toast.
So Toast has a decent email. I mean, it's not the best, but it does. It's better than using MailChimp, right? Because at least it's incorporated with the customers that you have. So I would definitely start with that. And it can definitely give you the basic of like, all right, I'm going to send out emails every week. It'll definitely be able to do that for you. The reason I always say people, and people probably hear me say it 1,000 times, I love social media. It's a great platform to use for free or even on the cheap for paid ads to get out there and get exposure. But you don't own anything on there. Case in point, I was just doing another one of these right before this one. And the gentleman, it'll be out later today as we record this, the gentleman that I was doing this review with was really heavy into Facebook ads, doing a great job on Facebook ads, getting a lot of customers from that. It was like his number one platform. 10 days ago, his Facebook account got shut off. His Facebook page got shut down. He can't figure out what happened. He's emailing Facebook back and forth. It's been 10 days now. So he has no way to reach all of those customers that he paid
to
reach, which was doing well for him. So he was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it, which is fine. but how does he reach him now? So that's why I always say to people, phone number and email are king, because Instagram, Facebook is great, right? Like, use it. I'm not saying don't. Use it to the best of your ability as you can. But the goal should always be to, when that customer comes in, get their name, email, and phone number. So that way, if Instagram shuts down or your account gets locked, at least you have a way to follow up with your existing customers and be like, hey, we're over here now. There's this Schminstagram, and we're using that now. Or you can just email them, and you don't even need any of those social media sites. So do your best to try to get people in there. A QR code, you know, a QR code with an offer is an easy way to do that. You can go to Google and just type in QR code generator, and you can get a free one made, put a link in there, create a landing page in your website, and just offer someone something for free, a free dessert, a free appetizer, or something for in exchange for that email and phone number. So that way you always have it. And then you can still use Facebook and Instagram and any social media platform to kind of continue to post, which I still think you should do. But the goal should always be to get something in return.
Yeah, that makes
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, I need to do that.
Now, I like your website. Your website's clean. It's got good colors. The logo is, it looks like professional. I like that. It looks, did you make this or did you have somebody make this?
I had someone make it.
Okay, I like it. I think you're doing a good job with that. The one thing I do check is this, if you can go to mobile version of it. As long as it, yeah, see, sometimes the mobile version, you want to make sure that it gets optimized.
See if they can. Yeah, I feel like some of this stuff was working at one point, and then over time it stops working.
Is it on WordPress?
I know the mobile. No, it's Wix.
Okay. Sometimes when something breaks or it was working and then all of a sudden it doesn't, sometimes it's as easy as updating a plugin or updating the back end of if you use WordPress. Sometimes you just need to update that and it'll fix it. So maybe go check that, because I'm sure a lot of your, especially since you're a mobile place, a lot of your traffic is probably on the internet is coming from mobile. So just make sure that it looks nice on mobile.
Yeah, good call.
And then it has your, I see here, today's menu, find us, catering, link to Instagram and Facebook, your phone number, email, where you're located. All right, that's all you really need. Like, people overthink the website. All you need is information, right? How does someone contact you?
Yeah.
How do they call you? How do they order from you? And where are you located? Everything else is, you can add whatever you want, but it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So your website looks good. I don't think you need to do much there. Do you have, you use Toast? Can people order online from you? The only thing I'm not seeing here is an order online.
So right now they can't, the brewery where we're at most of the time has such heavy foot traffic that we just get slammed all the time. Okay. And so I haven't done online ordering, but what I am going to do is set up DoorDash and probably Uber Eats for the days when we're at the kitchen and we're just making dough or we're prepping. Right now, we're not selling anything during those days. So I think I'm going to get DoorDash set up. And also for days, you know, since I'm a food truck, sometimes events are rained out and I have 100 doughs for that event. And the next day, I don't freeze dough. I don't have room for that. And I wouldn't do that anyway. So the next day, I have 100 dough balls and nothing to do with them. So I'm going to get DoorDash set up for that.
That's smart, because then you can just turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good idea. What is, I always wondered, so this is me asking you a question now. I'm going to turn the tables a little bit. I've always wondered about food trucks. So like, if you have a brick and mortar, right, and someone wants the delivery, like, they don't really know where that's coming from. They may have visited you in person, but they don't really know. They could just be looking online, you pop up, or they follow you on Instagram and they order from you and they just assume that you have a brick and mortar. Like, can food trucks do that same thing where they can just be like, you know what, I'm just going to do deliveries out of the parking lot?
Yeah. So what's funny is there's a Mexican place, and I know the owners, they're pretty cool. And they basically have another company name. It's the same restaurant. It's just named something else on DoorDash, and they just crush it on DoorDash, even though it's the same restaurant. So they're kind of like double dipping. but people just, I don't think they have to know the place. A lot of times they're just looking on DoorDash and they're just going to pick what looks good, no matter if they know there's a brick and mortar or not. And there's more and more ghost kitchens popping up around here. So I think if I have good pictures of the pizza on DoorDash, that should work. I know I've watched a bunch of your podcasts where you know, people have to have good pictures of every single one of your pizzas, not just generic photos.
Even if it's a not great, I would rather have a not great photo of your pizza than a great photo of something that's not even, like, I've been on people's websites and they serve, Italian style pizza, and it's like a deep dish pizza on their website. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're not going to get that.
Yeah.
They got to look at that and they're going to get a delivery and be like, what the heck is this? It's not what I ordered.
Yeah. The only thing I'm hesitant about is, you know, the pizza is not going to be, it's not Neapolitan type pizza. It's kind of in between New York style and Neapolitan, what we're serving.
Yeah.
It holds up okay in the box, but it's just not as good.
Yeah.
I think I just have to get over that and do it anyway.
Yeah. Or maybe tweak your recipe a little bit and maybe do like a different kind of pizza that you do for delivery. Maybe you do a Detroit style pizza or a Detroit style ish pizza that you do for delivery that will hold up really well. That's what I've seen other people do sometimes. All right, let's go over to your Instagram because your photos are great. I know you said that you sometimes get caught where you don't post because of the caption or you don't know what to say. I would say, have you ever heard of ChatGPT? If you listen to the podcast, I'm sure you've heard me. Go in there and just write something.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a response. And the first response is going to be terrible. But then you tweak it, right? So you say, all right, give me a caption for a photo of a pizza coming out of the oven. And it's going to be terrible. But what that does is, at least you see the response, and then you can be like, all right, from this response, I like this part of it. I don't like this part of it. So then the response to the ChatGPT's response is, all right, I like that, except change this. And then just keep going until you get it. And then once you get it, then you go, give me 10 more like this. And then it'll give you 10 responses, and then you can pick the ones you like. Or go to your own Instagram and search your photos or videos of the ones that did well. Then the ones that did well, look at the caption that you wrote. Like, what did you write? What made it do well? And then copy that, paste it into ChatGPT, and be like, all right, rewrite this for me. So it's your own words. It's just giving you different ways to write that same thing so it looks different.
Yeah.
Because consistency is the most important thing with Instagram. It's the most important thing. It's more important than the quality. And I know people are going to listen to me and be like, really? And yes, when it comes to like growth, it's different. It depends on what your strategy is. If you just want maintenance and you just want to maintain where you're at, quality is more important than quantity. But if you want growth and you want to get in front of people who don't know who you are and you want to reach as many people as possible, quantity is more important than quality. And you only get to quality if you do a lot, because you'll learn of what works and what doesn't, and then you can do more of the things that worked. So there's no real quality. Like, I'm looking at your photos right now. All of them are much better than a lot of the photos and videos I've seen from a lot of pizza shops.
Okay.
So quality is not your issue. Your issue is quantity.
Yeah.
And you just got to get over the fact of, have you seen my, so I create a lot of memes. They get a lot of reach, right? Sometimes I don't even put anything. I just put a heart or a pizza in the the caption. Now, I know you're a different strategy because you're a restaurant. You want people to come in. But sometimes you just need to show them the pizza cooking in the oven. And that gets people like, you know what? I kind of want that. I'm not even going to read the caption. I'm just going to go look at their bio and see what their bio says and see if there's a link where they're located.
Yeah, very true.
So don't overthink.
Simple.
The other thing I'm looking at your Instagram right now is what I would love to see in your bio is, it says a nice wording there. And I always say, this is how your bio should be. If I'm going to elevate it with you, you have 5 seconds for me to describe what your pizzeria is. Can you do that in 5 seconds? And that's your bio, which yours does. Yeah, but I'd also love to see like your location, hours, something like that in the bio. So if I do stumble upon a post, say I'm an Instagram user and I'm just scrolling through the feed, and I see one of your reels, I'm going to go to your bio And then it doesn't really tell me where you are. Then I got to click on the link in your bio to go to your website. And then I got to scroll all the way down to the bottom to kind of see where you're located. That's too many steps.
I need to have a link to the schedule. Find our schedule here.
Yeah, because I think you can put multiple links in the bio for Instagram. So you can put two. Keep your website there and then put another one on this week's schedule. But then also just put like, you don't need your address, but the city you're in. So people can understand if they do see you in, I'm in Ohio, and then I see one of your pizzas because it looks cool and I like the reel because Instagram's going to show it to me because I like pizza. I'm going to go to your bio and be like, all right, that place isn't even close to me. There's no reason for me to go there.
Yeah.
Because I can clearly see that. So you're going to attract the people who are near you because it'll be visible right there. Because vanity metrics don't matter. You want followers. You want customers, not followers. Everybody's so fixated on followers, which is great, but it's just vanity. You want customers. So you really want to reach people who are in your area. Yeah, it's great to have a lot of followers, but it doesn't do anything for your business. Like when you go to the grocery store and the cashier is like, that's $127. And you're like, yeah, but I have 30,000 followers on Instagram. She's like, that's fantastic. It's still $130.
Yeah. Like you get 15,000 views on a reel and, you know, 5% of those views are local people that actually matter.
That used to be great when Instagram was handing out money for Reels views, but they don't do that anymore. So all you really want to focus on is like, all right, how do I reach the people who are in my area and maximize that? And when I do reach somebody and they do go to my bio, I can capture them. I'm going to get them to come in.
Yeah.
I'm going to get their email. I'm going to get their phone number. I'm going to be able to follow up. So I would create more content like you're doing. And the other thing is too, like, so I'm going to scroll back. It looks like you've been doing this for a little while. So like this one right here, right? This is from 44 weeks ago. Nobody remembers this post. Post this again. If you ever get stuck, for a day and you're like, all right, I'm so busy, I can't think of anything, I don't have time, go scroll back on your Instagram, find a post that did well, and then just repost it again. 44 weeks in the history of the internet is like 300 years. No one's going to remember that.
Yeah.
So no one's going to look at that post and be like, wow, you posted that almost a year ago. No one's going
to
say
I don't even use the same songs. I'm like, I need to use the same song sometimes. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No one is going to remember what you posted last week unless they go to your profile. But when it shows up in their feed, they may think to themselves, what, didn't I see this last week? But they may just think it's last week's post.
Yeah.
Not you reposted it. So don't be afraid if you're stuck to repost something that worked well.
Gotcha.
And then post every day. You got to post every day on the Reels. Because that's how you get exposure. And then the stories here. I see you got one story going on here 23 hours ago. You got to do, I know it's going to sound like a lot. You got to do like at least four to six a day minimum. We've seen tremendous growth with reach. So when we manage a lot of accounts, but there's three accounts that we manage that we're allowed to experiment on. Some are really rigid. And their customers like, don't do anything on ours. We just want you to do what we want you to do. But there's some that we can experiment on. And over the last 6 months, we've seen that if we do 6 to 10 stories a day, these accounts have anywhere from 20 to 30,000 followers. In the beginning, if we were just random with the stories or we'd do one a day, we'd see 500 to 1,000 views on those stories if we were just kind of random and not consistent. We've seen that if we can do 6 to 8 consistently stories, we've seen those views go from 500 to 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000 consistently. Because we're always showing up in the top bar. When people open up Instagram, we're always in the top bar with the red circle around that says, hey, this is a new story. And you've watched our last story, so we're always popping up. We've got you because you've always watched our story, so ours is always going to be bumped to the front of that. So the more consistent you are with that, you're not going to grow followers from that, but you will engage the followers that you have.
Okay. Yeah, good to know.
So if you have 3,400 followers right here, I bet you, I don't see the data, but this story probably got, I don't know, 100 to 200 views.
Yeah, I think probably 200.
If I had to guess.
Real quick. 216.
Yeah, so if you do... For the next month, if you say, all right, for the next month, I'm going to do 4 to 6 stories every day, I bet you that'll be 600 to 800 views.
Okay. Wow. That's good to know.
So that'll be a drastic increase of the people who are watching you every single day. And those are your customers.
Yeah.
People who watch your stories are your customers. The people who follow you could be. The people who like a post might be. But the people who watch your stories are more likely to become customers than people who just like a post passively.
Yeah. 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 I'd like to know how many people, sometimes people come and they're like, oh, we want that pizza that you posted on the reel. And that, you know, I know that that person is there because of Instagram. But I don't really know the true number of people because everybody doesn't tell me that.
True. The only thing you could do that is have like a specific coupon code for Instagram and be like any Instagram follower, like in the stories, you could put a link and be like, use code XYZ when you come in, tell us this number. So that way in 24 hours, it disappears. You know, it came from that day. It doesn't even have to be a discount. It could just be like, hey, mention this name when you come in.
Okay.
So that way people can be like, all right, I'm going to mention that when I come in. Then you're like, that was Tuesday's reel. They saw it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
The other thing too is on your Facebook page, I know you're kind of just cross-posting, but it doesn't look like you cross-post every single one. Turn it on, cross-post it. Even if you know, you're better off cross-posting it. Especially your reels. Facebook really likes reels right now. Facebook, not okay. I know Facebook owns Instagram, but Facebook too likes reels. So turn on the toggle that says, all right, every time I post a reel, post it to Facebook too. And same with stories.
I think I got a new phone and stopped cross-posting.
They always change up where it's located in the settings too. So you're going to have to dig a little bit. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know it's there. It might even be when you post on the bottom, it'll say share this post to Facebook. Just hit yes. And then in the settings, you may have to toggle every story cross-post to your Facebook page too. And I think that you'll see, because then you'll see every post will be here. And it's better than cross-posting to Instagram, even though it's not ideal for Facebook. It's better than not posting to Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Since you have 600 followers.
Yeah, I need to post
anyway.
All my reels to my stories too.
And then you mix up, like on your stories, mix it up. Do a question, do a poll, do a slider of something like that. Like, have fun with it and mix it up a little bit. And the more you can get people to engage with your stories, the more they'll see them. If you look at mine, sometimes I'll just put it a question. And there's no way to respond other than to send me a message. But that's huge. If people take the time to send me a message, even if it's just an emoji, it sends a signal to Instagram that this person's interested in my content. And moving forward, they're more likely to see it as long as they keep engaging with it.
Gotcha.
All right, so I know we threw a lot at you. Any questions of anything we talked about?
Not right now. No questions so far. It's kind of new to me trying to do this stuff, and gain business because, you know, two and a half years ago, it was hard for us just to make the pizzas. We were slammed. It was a mess. And now I'm finally, you know, I'm getting the hang of everything. We're, dialed in the trailer, and now I'm like, all right, I need more business at these slow breweries and I need to pick things up. So
I think what you said,
definitely
capture everybody. Your goal should be for the next 30 days. Your goal should be, all right, I'm going to post consistently to Instagram, one post a day to Reels, 4 to 6 stories. That's Instagram. Cross post that to Facebook. So that's two birds with one stone kind of checked off the list. Then for the next 30 days, how do I get every single customer that comes to me? How do I get their email and their phone number? That way you can start building up your database of existing customers that you can don't even worry about necessarily sending text messages right now. An email you could do once a week and just say, hey, this is Nathan. Hello from Sour Street Pizza. We're over here today. Just so you can get them in the rhythm of seeing emails from you. Don't overthink it. But at least you can start building up your database. And that way, if something does happen with Instagram or Facebook, you have contact information.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. I mean, we already get everyone's phone number for text messaging when they're ready. So I just need to integrate that. It's ridiculous that
so
I
Toast,
haven't.
I'm pretty sure Toast does Toast do text messaging?
Yeah, they do. I just haven't looked into it at all.
Text messaging is now business.
Yeah, I do the text for their order, when it's ready. But I don't use it. I don't use any of the information. So need to get on that.
Yeah, I mean, text those rainy days where your event is canceled. Text messaging would be a great way to send a text message and say, "Hey, listen, I know the event was canceled today, but we have 100 pizzas. We're going to give you $1 off each pizza so we can sell these. And we'll deliver them to you today, too. Just go here."
Yeah.
Like with a text message to your whole database. I'm sure you'll sell out. You won't even have to go to DoorDash or Uber Eats.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
All right, cool. Anything else?
No. I mean, I think I'm good to go. This is a lot of information.
Sorry. I know I tend to throw a lot.
No, that's good.
I think if you break it down to its basic level, it's just getting customers information and then being consistent with your post to social media.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it seems like a lot of information, but if you just really break it down, be like, all right, what do I have to do? You got to post to Instagram and stories, and when customers come to you, get their info.
Yeah.
And then continue to make good pizza, because if your pizza stinks, you're out of luck.
Yeah, exactly. We got that down.
Good. So the next step for you is opening a brick and mortar? You really want to do that?
Yeah, I'm looking. I know. Everyone says you really want to do that. It's real estate market's crazy around here right now. I think that's everywhere. So I'm looking for a spot, but haven't found anything. We've got a good thing going, but it's a lot of extra work, I feel like, with the trailer.
What kind of pizza would you make? The same kind, or would you do a different style?
Yeah, I would keep the brand and keep it the exact same. I just want to serve salads. I want to serve beer and wine as well. We've got a good following around here, a good local following. So I want to keep everything the same.
Yeah. Every time I talk to someone who's a brick and mortar, they wish they had a food truck. And every time I talk to someone who has a food truck, they wish they had a brick and mortar. It's like everybody.
I know.
That's the opposite of what they have.
I see both sides.
So it's good. I guess it's like, if you're okay with it. I've never run a food truck, but I've run many brick and mortars, and it's not easy, but I'm sure running a food truck's not easy either, you know?
Yeah. So I want to be able to hire people, and it's hard. I can't hire more than one full-time employee right now. Just because of the schedule volatility.
Yeah.
So I have four part-time people who come in the trailer when we're selling pizzas once or twice a week, and then I have one full-time guy. But if we were open 5 days a week, I'd have a lot easier time hiring people and getting people on the schedule and training them, so I could do more work on the computer and not be in my truck all the time towing around the trailer and stuff like that.
It is more consistent, or can be more consistent, a brick and mortar, because you are going to be open. You're going to be open. Who knows how business is going to go, but at least you'll be open for certain hours so you can have
people.
And then you can just kind of build your business over time. But Nathan, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate you. Let me know if there's anything else I can do from you. And then follow up. Let's follow up. I want to follow up with you in like a month, maybe after the holidays, mid-January. Shoot me an email and say, all right, I did it. Let me see how it's going. I have this many emails, this many phone numbers, posted every day. My stories are this now because I've been consistent with it over time. I want to see if it actually pans out for you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I really appreciate it, Bruce. I'll hit you up in a month.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll connect before then. But yeah, let me know how everything goes. I'm sure people will want to see if I know what I'm talking about or if I'm full of shit.
Okay, cool.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Don't go anywhere yet. I'm just going to end the recording.
Okay.